refuses to listen even to the church. Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sit right in here. In a moment, you want to hold this up for me? Got to make it look, it's really knotty, full of knots, and I need to show off the knots, so kind of hold it like that. Okay, you want to do that?
The Bible tells me so.
Good morning. Well, I want to show you guys something here. We are doing a theme called Knit Together, and one doesn't think it's about Kanta knots when you knit. So this is what knitting starts with, right? They have a thing of yarn, and I don't know how to knit, so if I mess up on a little bit, somebody can tell me, but I know the basics, that they start with yarn, and in the end, they can make some beautiful things like the squares that we have today. Did I say something wrong already? Oh, okay. I was like, I think I'm good so far. But this is kind of the neat thing. Can you show, hold that up, Sophie? Okay, you see this? That's kind of a mess, isn't it? There's a whole bunch of little knots in there and such. So, showing all these, so which one has the most tangles in it?
That one?
It's kind of funny, because this one looks tangled up, but this one actually has a lot more tangles. You see all the little tangles? The reason you say that is because it looks so beautiful, right? Because even though that one is, the tangles there don't look right. Well, this is what we're talking about with conflict. We're not trying to say we should have fights or things like that. The church, we should have more fights. That would be good. No. What we're saying is we are reminding ourselves that what we think of as fights and arguments, they don't have to be. They can actually be a gift when they're handled really well. And in your life, you will always have times where you're mad or sad or upset with somebody. And I'll remind you that if you learn how to deal with those conflicts well, it can actually make you stronger. That's the last thing I want to show you, is that with this, which one of these is stronger? If I was to pull on this, is it very strong?
No.
Not really. If I was to pull on this, is it very strong? Well, it's a little stronger, and I don't want you to pull on this because we don't want to break it, but actually, this is the strongest one. I mean, I'd really have to work. Don't break them. But I'd really have to, because all of that together, because it's knit together so well, has created a very strong little piece of fabric, and that's wonderful. You are a gift of God, and you are a great piece of fabric for the Lord, too. And all of the things that happen in your life can be a gift that we can use to strengthen others. Can you pray with me?
Dear God,
you've woven us together. Help us see the beauty. And take care of the problems when they arise. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats.
You just made it sound a little magical that it goes from string to knit.
Well, it is magic for me. I've never done it.
It takes a little longer than that.
Say, while we're preparing, I also want to want to mention to the children, during after the message today, all the food that has come in today, they can go in the back and help load it into the boxes that will be taken to the food bank. Anybody else who'd like to help too, not just children, but that's during the sacred space time. So we'll sanctify preparing food in boxes.
I'm taller than you today. That's kind of fun.
I did that on purpose.
For example, my need for some quiet to think things through goes really well with his need to think everything out loud.
And my ability to focus for long periods of time and not go off on tangents, it's really what made it all possible. Squirrel!
However, it does work, because even though there's maybe some obvious points of differences or even tension, in the big picture, we have this basis, right? We have our faith in God. We have this trust that we have in one another that we've built up. We have a common understanding of our mission together in this church, our love for all of you and for this community and for sharing the gospel. And so when we're talking today about conflict, we know conflict, it happens. It happens in a lot of different ways and probably in some form almost every day. But with a foundation set in Jesus and a God who's with us in these conflicts, it also does not have to be an obstacle that can't be overcome.
So I'll have you turn your eyes to the first lesson for today from Philippians. It's a story that often goes under the radar and it's not preached on. The story of two women, Euodia, and I believe you say it's Syntyche, but I'm not actually sure. I've heard it pronounced other ways.
I'm just glad he had to say it. So, the truth about these two women is we actually know almost nothing about them other than what we know from studying the history of that letter, from the time period of what Paul was writing about and focused on, and kind of in a sense, reading between the lines. So we know that these two women were early leaders in the church and that they were experiencing some kind of conflict, whether it was with one another or with their community, we're not really sure, at least at the time that the letter was written, and that they were struggling through this together.
We thought this would be a good introduction to this summer sermon series on being knit together as one. You know, scholars believe Philippians is one of the oldest letters that Paul wrote. And we know he also loved this community. This series will look at how conflict is a part of the church then and now. Also, to ease your minds, like you might be going, so what are we talking about conflict for? What's going on? There is not some big issue going on in our community. We're not talking about this for any reason except because it's a part of our daily life. It's a part of community, a part of living. And it's actually a great time to talk about it when there isn't one that you're going, see.
It's also important that we don't create this illusion. It's kind of easy to make it seem like a community with no conflict is always better than one that has conflict, when really in the short term that might be true. But in the long run, what we discover is that conflict's necessary for our life together, and it's necessary for the church to thrive.
Want an example? Take a big breath for me, just for a moment. Hold that in for a moment. Think about that feeling, about all that fresh air that you've just added to your system. It's creating a tension in your body. Now breathe out. That's okay. All of your muscles, they had to stop relaxing for that moment and work to make that happen at all. As you exhale that breath, the conflict is released, and it feels good. But think about it. If you didn't create that conflict again, if you didn't take that next breath of air deeply in, well, life would soon be over. So at the very biological level, we are wired for conflict. Our bodies need it.
So that's how we think about the Spirit of God, too, that continues to bring new life into a congregation, into a community. Every time there's a new person, a new family, a baby born or adopted, we change. Every time someone comes, every time we encounter new people through the ministries that we do, every time somebody leaves, our community changes and ebbs and flows. So a church is kind of naturally in this same kind of breathing in and out conflict that our bodies are, with new life coming in. And this church is really alive. It's alive with ideas and passions and hopes and dreams and all kinds of different ages of people engaging in worship and service and ministry together. It's alive with passion and a grounding in Jesus and compassion for the world.
But I'm with you for those of you who say, yes, but change. Oh, change. It can seem so troubling because sometimes when we are really comfortable, when we get more relaxed, well, new life can make us less comfortable and we just want normal, whatever that is. But I'll remind you, like a new baby joining a family, There is rejoicing when that new baby comes, and there is a lot of being uncomfortable as well, with a lack of sleep and all of the other needs of an infant that will go unnamed at this time. But those are the ways a family grows and thrives and brings new life. Looking forward to the call of God, even when it is uncomfortable, really, this is how the body of Christ thrives.
So as we look at this image of knitting in relationship to our faith and our relationships with one another in the church, it does speak, as we shared in the children's sermon, to kind of that conflict in our lives that gets interwoven with one another, with our faith. So in knitting terms, we talk about tension in the yarn. So how tight or how loose you hold the yarn while you're knitting affects what it ends up looking like. And it can change what the results are. So yarn without conflict, you know, is just some nice orderly string, yeah? But yarn with the tension can be processed into create beautiful new things.
In fact, these squares then are going to be central to our summer worships and to Pastor Lita's sabbatical. They remind us of our life together as the church, wherever we go, and we remind ourselves that church isn't just this place, but it is our homes and our communities, and we can bring the Holy Spirit wherever we go. We are, on our own, though, just loose yarn, but the reality is that is not our reality. We are a community held together in the Spirit and the life and the tension of the Holy Spirit.
So it's also important as we think about conflict to acknowledge that it's not always healthy, it's not always good, it's not always easy, that there are a lot of tough things that need to be dealt with all the time. This knit square was very close to just being that mess, right? It could have turned out either way.
Not me, this.
If you knitted it, yeah, maybe. But we find that our life in God, this basis that we have, the foundation of Christ Jesus, is that which helps us create this sense of beauty and order out of things that can also look like a mess. So in knitting, when we pull together the yarn and the creation of the patterns and the different weights of yarn and the diversity of what it looks like and feels like, it comes together to create beautiful things. And so in this coming together, this is how Jesus works in our lives as a community as well. And when we're open to investing in our lives through Christ, open to our church, open to the wider community and our family and the world, we encounter tension and conflict, but we also grow and move through that.
Returning to that letter to the Philippians, we see a glimpse of this Christian community from long ago through Paul's letter. And I like to think that Paul was very aware that this was a touchy situation. I don't know if he could fathom the size of the church that would come and that this was such a critical stage. I'm not sure if he totally fathomed how important that moment might have been. But I like to think that he perhaps realized that he needed to help them to see the greater gift that they were. Because there might have been tension because, oh no, it's kind of like, oh, Pastor Lita and Pastor Michael, I hope they're getting along or something. Maybe Euodia and Syntyche would be like that, where people are like, I hope it's okay because we love this connection, this leadership that they have together. And so I'll have you note what Paul shares with them, though, that Jesus, he returns us to Jesus very quickly. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God.
And that's a beautiful verse. It's one that I love to read often, that let your gentleness be known is being written to the people who are in the midst of a conflict. It reminds me of this illustration I heard about a long time ago, that often we think of conflict as kind of like this, you know, heads butting, somebody has to win, somebody has to come out on top. But what we're talking about really is conflict with open hands, that your perspective, your passions, your hopes and dreams meet mine, and together we walk through them. And so when we come to the place of conflict with openness, symbolized by hands, but also open minds and open hearts, then we have this ability to walk and work in the Spirit of God alongside one another. So Paul's telling these women and this community, and so also telling us through this letter that, yeah, we're tangled up together. And that's the good news, that we have this community and this foundation in Jesus to be tangled up in.
You know, the good news, if I was to change that just a tiny bit, Jesus is there in the midst of the tangles. Mm-hmm. And I think returning, or actually now going to the gospel just for a moment, sometimes this text of the gospel is used as sort of a blueprint of how you're supposed to handle conflict. You'll see groups that say that when we do have conflict, there are ways to engage with one another, respect, hold accountable, and move through it with love. And that is certainly true in this text. But sometimes this text gets used as a mandate of the right way to engage in conflict. That is not the spirit of today's gospel from Matthew. It's more about remembering that basis, the foundation of love that we have from God, reminding ourselves that Jesus is there in the tangles, and that Jesus is there in our conflicts. And even when we don't feel it or know it or see it, that it is there and we can be open in our communication. We don't have to hide from conflict, but instead it allows us to be stronger, better, and practice out living our Christian witness with the world. And it also means that when we share this with the world, when we share, I went beyond what was written here. When we share this with the world, we have a gift that other people can use. This understanding of conflict through how Jesus shows us to reach outward is a gift that the rest of the world needs to know.
So that's the challenge, and it's also the promise for us this summer, that as you move through your daily lives and take these knit squares somewhere with you, take a picture of that to send back to us. As I engage in discovering different kinds of spiritual communities and in that kind of sabbatical reflection, we will continue to be partnered and knit together through the gospel, through the foundation we have in Jesus, and as a community, learning those things together. And so may you know, let me leave you with this blessing, this promise of love, this foundation of grace that we come from, as you rejoice in the Lord always, even through any types of changes or challenges that you face in your life. And may you also know the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and may it guard your hearts and minds forever. Amen.
Amen. And could we have not chosen a better hymn of the day to sing together right now than Bind Us Together, Lord?
Sometimes we're smart like that.